flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We'll take your calls coming up for most of this first hour here at 301-230-0980. We're just getting bombarded with news here in the last like 30 minutes. We got even more news. Let's see what this says. Commanders roster moves. The Commanders have signed the following players to reserve future contracts, including Kaz Allen. We got Tyree Jackson, Sam Hartman, Julian Good-Jones, Andre Jones Jr., wide receiver Chris Moore, safety Ben Nickel, who always cracks me up in training camp because his last name is Nickel, but he plays corner, or he plays safety, and then Cole Turner, who is still on the practice squad. So, like, most of their practice squad, they just signed to futures contracts, which means they'll be around in training camp, and then a lot of them will wind up on the practice squad again next year. That's not even what I pulled out my phone for. We got the date that we find out the future Wizards. That the NBA draft is going to be a 2-day event again. It'll take place June 25th and 26th at Barclays Center. So that just happened. We just found out like 30 minutes ago that the Wizards have 3 players, the 3 that you would think, in the Rising Stars contest. So that's Alex Starr, Bub Carrington, and Bilal Coulibaly. So Keyshawn George does not make it, but Coulibaly is a second-year player, does. So there you go. Now you're all caught up on the news. That's our show. We'll see you tomorrow. Nope. I still got to do... We got 2.5 hours or two hours left? Two hours, 10 minutes left? All right, then. I thought yesterday's show was so good that I didn't have to do another one today. But here we are. Yesterday's show was great because it reminded me why I do this. The calls that you guys had, just kind of talking through the season, talking through the Eagles game, the disappointment, but also the triumph and the hope for the future. That was really magical. And a lot of days, I can definitely leave here feeling, I mentioned this on the show yesterday, kind of empty, where it's just like, okay, we talked about football again. There's other stuff going on in the world. Who cares? But I think it's a reminder that it means a lot to a lot of people. And it certainly means a lot to me too. Like the sports side, like sports means a lot because it brings people together, because it means a lot to people. Those two things are related and it goes together. And so I just want to say thanks again for that yesterday. And let's keep it going today at 301-230-0980 on a Vibe Check Tuesday. And if you want to continue to feel hopeful, if you want to feel good about this team moving forward, which you absolutely should, do not watch any of the Eagles game again. I started to do that a little bit before the show, and I'm not going to go through and watch all of the tape because what's the point? There are certainly lessons to be learned from that game. And unfortunately for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, like, they're going to have to go back through, and Cliff is going to have to go back through and watch all of that because they need to learn the lessons for an opponent that they're going to see moving forward. But they'll never see that version of the Eagles again, and they're never going to have this version of the Commanders again. So it's at some point there is extreme diminishing returns, and it's not like you spend as much time with that tape as maybe some others throughout the season as you are trying to prepare with that same team that is on tape for your future opponents. But on a big picture level, certainly there's some things that you can take away. You have to look at your structures. You have to look at how you taught certain things and be like, why did we mess some of this stuff so bad? And I will say one of the things I went back and watched before the show is the 3 10-plus yard runs that Saquon had in the game. In fact, I watched all 5 runs. 2 of them were from Shipley that were 10-plus yards, and then 3 from Saquon, including the 60-yarder. And it's just really disappointing because, like, this team played so hard all year, and there were very, very few gaps in that. And playing hard is a relative thing in the NFL. Like, playing hard for 60 minutes does not mean, like, just running as fast as you humanly can every second of every snap. And the backside defender is always just screaming to the football at full speed on every single snap, just in case. But, man, on the first play of the game, when your offense is just put together a 7-plus minute drive, and you are watching Saquon Barkley get out, and you're going, well, first of all, like, you should be so ready to go, so fired up, so ready to fire off the ball. And watching Dante Fowler on that play, and this is not reflective of who Dante Fowler is as a player. This is reflective of what Dante Fowler did on this play. And it's a thing that Dante Fowler does on occasion, where he's not like the super physical edge setter, or doesn't get super vertical, or doesn't always lock in 100% to his assignment. And watching him on that play, see that it's a toss crack. So what's going to happen is they've got a tight bunch to the left. Saquon's in the backfield. Jalen hit audibles to change this to an under center play. And they pitch it out to the left, to the side, to the bunch. And they're going to crack, it's called a crack block, where a wide receiver comes back down on the defensive end, allowing the left tackle, Jordan Mailata, to pull out into space. And instead of reading this toss crack and deciding, I'm going to crack the cracker, I'm going to just destroy this wide receiver, in this case, A.J. Brown, because I'm a defensive end. And even though the size differential between Dante Fowler and A.J. Brown is much smaller than many defensive ends versus many wide receivers, Dante Fowler should take A.J. Brown for a ride there. Like, there's a physicality that you need to play with to blow up this play and also not screw up the timing of everyone else behind you, because now everyone is going to be flowing towards you, towards the ball. And instead of doing that, or as Dante Fowler tries to jump inside, getting vertical and just being like, I'm going to blow this thing up from the inside, he tries to like spin back outside of Brown's block. And he then gets blocked by A.J. Brown because spinning around in place kind of without any force or power is a real good way to be off balance. Brown just blocks him. He blocks him right into John Allen, like trips him up. Those two fall into Bobby Wagner, and now Mailata has no one else to worry about, so he just takes poor Noah Igbinoghene for a ride, because what is Noah supposed to do? The corner on that side outside is Saner still. He's getting blocked. And then Saquon's up into the third level. Quan takes a bad angle. Chin takes a bad angle. Or actually, Chin's kind of in a good spot until Quan knocks Barkley out of his track. He breaks the Quan's tackle, which then messes Chin up. And that's where, like, as frustrating as that was, this is where it actually gets, like, maddening. If I was Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, knowing the things that we preach, knowing what we wanted to do all year, how hard we play. You have Wagner, who's been tripped up, but even more so Luvu, who is coming from the backside of that play and sees it get out. And instead of chasing as fast as he can after the ball. He just is kind of like, oh, the safeties have him. They're going to knock him out of bounds, like plays over. If Frankie Louvu sprints from behind this play, he probably goes and makes a tackle on Quan Martin. Now, he's got to cover like 15, 20 yards. But an NFL player can do that very quickly. And Saquon's being slowed down and wouldn't have had the chance to reaccelerate. Instead, Saquon gets slowed down, doesn't go down, has the chance to reaccelerate because no one else is there. Mikey is the last line of defense here. He kind of Keystone Cops it too because Chin, Quan, and Mikey all mess each other up. And then once Saquon cuts back inside, like, ball game over. Eagles get the 60-yard touchdown because no one, Frankie at that point is sprinting, but you're not catching Saquon with a 15-yard head start. And that's, to see that on the first play of the game was just so demoralizing. And obviously it felt bad at the time, but like once you realize in the watch back that that is things to come, it's just like, man, they really didn't give themselves a shot on Sunday, did they? Stuff like that defensively, the turnovers on offense, just a huge bummer. But not going to let that put a damper on the season. At least I'm going to try not to. But it is the kind of thing that if you're a coach, like if I'm DQ and the team gets together in the spring and the team gets together, or maybe even the first day of training camp, I might save it till then. I'm showing the team that. Like, this is never going to be us again, which is a fun motivational tactic in August, but it hurts right now. And that is what it is for this team moving forward. We get back. We get started with your calls. 301-230-0980. It is a Vibe Check Tuesday. How you feeling as you reflect on the weekend, but also the Commanders season writ large? 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are wide open at 301-230-0980 if you want to get in on a Vibe Check Tuesday. I'll check the YouTube chat in the break as well. But I have a question first. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Brand new contest, so if you haven't heard this before, you'll be sick of me saying this over the next month or so, except for the part where you could win a trip to Las Vegas and $20,000. So here we go. It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details are available at Odyssey.com. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y, Odyssey.com/slam dunk. So, basically, you got to have an account with us just on your Odyssey app. Which also you should have if you use the Odyssey app, because then it will save all your settings. It will save your favorite shows. It will save us as your favorite station. If you listen to, say, Take Command or any of the other podcasts on there, it'll save all that. So, like, logging in, not a big deal. To do that, and if you're logged in, that's how it tracks how long you've listened on the day. So, log in. Make sure you're logged in. Cool. You're logged in. Don't have to worry about that step again. Listen for an hour every single day, and then you're automatically entered to win a trip to Vegas, first weekend of the college basketball tournament, those first two round days, and then you get $20,000, and the trip is paid for, and you get to bring three friends. As when my boss told me about this, my question to him was, where do I sign up? So the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980, teaching you about it, reminding you about it over the next couple of weeks here as it is unfolding. All right, we'll get to the calls in a second at 301-230-0980. Just in case you missed it yesterday, it's such a weird time of year in the NFL because, like, obviously for us, we're just in postseason mode. Like, oh my God, it ended yesterday. Huh. Wow, the season's just over. But think about a year ago. We were in full coach search mode. We're in the middle of that. And we're starting to talk a lot heavier about the draft. I remember telling you guys, like, hey, I don't know anything about these college quarterbacks yet. I'm going to have to get some tape done and start watching these guys. I hope to have my first, like, feel for them after the Senior Bowl. And ironically, the guy that I think I liked the most initially was Jaden Daniels, even though the kind of consensus of a lot of the draft folks at the time was Caleb and then Drake May. And I was like, I don't know, this Daniels kid, like, this is kind of what it's supposed to look like. And then you watch some of the All-22 and you understand why they like some of the other guys. And then, you know, obviously, as you go through the entirety of the process, I wound up going full circle and coming back to Jaden as the guy that they should draft. Me and plenty of other people. I don't say that braggadociously. It's just like you learned a lot about the process for me last year, where this year it's like, oh, I'm not going to know anything about any college prospects by the Senior Bowl because we're at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, it's literally happening this week in Mobile. This is what happens is if you're a front office, you have to do both. You have to be able to be there to support your team in whatever way you're doing that actively to the current team and also get ahead on your scouting. So Adam Peters was actually asked yesterday in his press conference about that quick turnaround and having to do both.
Yeah. It's sobering, but then getting down and we're going to go down. A few of us are going to go down the Senior Bowl tomorrow. And so that's exciting, you know, and we're going to do that, you know, whatever the result of the game was. But really exciting to go down there and be with the guys, be with our scouts that are out on the road all year and working their tails off to get ready for the draft. So, you know, I didn't prepare for this day, you know, and maybe that's silly, but I didn't and wasn't expecting this. And so, you know, you got to kind of come in and turn the page, and so we did that today, and then tomorrow we'll go back down there and look ahead and get caught up with all that stuff, and then it's the rest of the off season. So it never stops, it really doesn't, but it'll be good to get down there and see the guys and be around the guys. It'll be fun.
Here's the thing about Adam Peters. Two things about Adam Peters. One, if you think this guy's not prepared for this moment, functionally, I don't think you know anything about Adam Peters. Just because he wasn't emotionally prepared for this moment, which was pretty clear. Like, Adam is crazy competitive. Like, I've heard a few stories behind the scenes where you're just like, not anything crazy, just that you hear kind of like, oh no, like, Adam was never a guy that was like, oh, let's rebuild, I'll handle the losing, it'll be fine. Like, he hates losing, hates it, drives him nuts. He and Jaden are actually very similar in terms of how they handle things, I think. And so he can say he's not prepared for that moment emotionally. He didn't think about it, but they've been doing the work because that's the way he rolls. And also, this is something he's used to. His entire career, he's been in the front offices of good teams. Maybe his focus was more on the scouting in the past, but now, like, as the general manager overseeing it all, like, he still was a part of good teams in San Francisco and before that in Denver and before that in New England. So this is a schedule that he is used to, even if it's something that we are not used to kind of consuming content and consuming the schedule of this team that has been one of the first to exit the relevancy of the NFL for many of the last 30 seasons. All right, let's get to the phones and start our Vibe Check Tuesday at 301-230-0980. Let's start with Darrell in Southern Maryland. Darrell, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, thanks, Craig, for taking my call.
You got it.
Well, my thoughts are I'm 31 years old. I've never seen our team get this close. So that's a positive. We're all to get better. But my vibe is it's going to be really hard to wait a whole nother year to see where this goes. I mean, I've never left through all the bad times. I won't leave now, but it's just kind of heartbreaking as a diehard. You know what I mean? That's really just what my vibe is. thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, you got it, dude. I appreciate that. And I think that's it's right, man, because you just want to get back out there and play again. Like, you just want to be like, all right, well, let's go fix some things and let's go play another ball game. Like, let's go play the Bills for third place. Like, let's whatever, just let us play one more. At least then we know. And losing would suck still, but at least we know, like, hey, it's about to end. As opposed to, like, man, if we win this game, we get all the hype of the Super Bowl, we get this big build-up, and then we get a Super Bowl. Whatever happens there, like, it is what it is. It's the last game we're going to play, whether we win or lose. Let's go win it. But I do think that the offseason can be really exciting. And although there are no games played, to see how Adam and Dan and the staff is thinking about the football team, I think, is very intriguing. And I think, unlike a lot of the times in the past where we've gone, all right, well, let's see what they do and see if it's what we do, and we trust our collective thoughts more than we trust theirs. If Adam Peters goes out and does something that none of us expect, attacks free agency in a way that we're not expecting, signs a guy that we're not expecting, whatever, then I think we're probably all going to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should be thinking about it that way, because he's smarter than us. And I think that's going to be a cool, fun thing. So draft is going to be a lot of fun. Free agency is going to be a lot of fun. And we're here to be a source of information for you on the Hoffman Show. And promise we'll try to do the best that we can to be that. When we get back, more of your calls. 301-230-0980. Lines are open. There are spots available. 301-230-0980. Vibe check Tuesday before Mitch Tischler joins us coming up at 5 o'clock. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. It is a Vibe Check Tuesday. You can give us a call at 301-230-0980 and let us know how you're feeling about the Commanders, with the season, unfortunately, coming to an end against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. So thoughts on the game, thoughts on the season. We did this quite a bit yesterday. It's kind of a big, giant group therapy session. But today, our usual Vibe Check Tuesday. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, thanks for calling. Hope you're doing well. What you got for me on a Vibe Check Tuesday?
Thanks for taking my call, Craig. Hope you're doing well. Hey, look, the game was what it was. You know, shot themselves in the foot with the turnovers. They won the game earlier this year with those five turnovers. But, you know, you can't win that way. And if they take anything away from the game, they have to say, look, we shot ourselves in the foot. Philadelphia is a great team. They deserve to be in a Super Bowl. But of all the teams, there are 32 teams in this league, and all those teams went through the training camp. They went through the draft, they went through the mini camps, they went through 17 games, and they were one of four teams that was standing, okay? And I think that, you know, fans should be very, very proud of the team. The vibe, I think, should be optimistic. They have a young quarterback that looked like a superstar, but they do have a lot of holes. And I will tell you that I do think the jury is still out a little bit on the GM. Okay, I mean, I think he did a decent job in free agency, but when it came to the draft, I think there's still a lot of open questions about last year's draft. They got Samuel still, they got obviously Jaden Daniels, but down the draft, I think there's still some questions as to whether or not those guys are really going to materialize. So the draft, I think, drafting at the bottom of each round is going to tell a lot about his ability to spot talent. And that's why I think they should move on from either Deron Payne or Jonathan Allen to see if they can get more picks that gives him the option of using those picks to move up in the draft. So I think I still think there's some question marks about Adam Peters and his draft capabilities. That's still an open question in my part. But I think everybody should be very proud of this team. As long as they have Jaden Daniels, he's worth the like five games on his own, I believe. So they just need to put the cast of characters around him, and I think they're going to be just fine.
Gary, thanks for the call. And I'm glad you brought this up, because it's something that I've been kind of battling with internally / sometimes in the comment sections over the last couple of days with some folks. And that is the reality of what this rookie class was. It's an unmitigated success no matter what because of Jaden. He just overrides everything else. But if we're going to take a more objective pick-by-pick look at it and not just weight the quarterback and the number two overall pick with the weight that it deserves and how much it overrides everything else, like, there are questions, which is why I like the way that Gary put that. He's probably more skeptical. He's definitely more skeptical. He's been skeptical. He's called a couple times over the course of the past bunch of months. And, you know, he was skeptical about some of Adam's moves going back. Seems to have a bit of skepticism against Adam. But here's the thing about being an NFL GM. The proving yourself is never over. You're great until the moment that you're not, until the bad decisions stack up and all of a sudden you've got a bad team. Or a bad cap situation, or both, and it's time for someone else to do the job. So it's a constant state of proving in an ever-evolving ecosystem, by the way. What the NFL is now is not what it was 5 years ago and not what it's going to be 5 years from now. So the ability to keep up with the times, stay ahead of the trends, and understand where the markets are is a critically important skill on top of the scouting and all of that kind of stuff. So when you look at the draft specifically, what I like the way Gary said that in terms of the jury is still out, that's very different than that he failed or these guys are failures. Because if you go through the picks, Jaden, greatest success story in the history of the modern league in terms of a draft pick. It was at the most important position, and he was the best guy to ever do it in terms of a rookie. So, cool, done, check. And he's worth games every single year. He's worth an impossible amount to kind of value as a franchise, and especially the next couple of years where his contract value is low. Like, just, you have the most valuable thing in the sport. Jerzan was promising at times this year. I don't know how much different he is, how much better or worse he is than, like, Payne right now, but if he grows into something that's better than Daron Payne, like, great. I think he's more similar to Daron than John, a guy that's super quick. But I will say this about Jerzan. He plays his face off. You will never find that dude loafing. He plays his tail off. And you immediately understand when you see him on the field why they liked him so much. He's their kind of guy. And I think as he has more time in an NFL weight room, has more time in the scheme, has more time to understand and more experience and know how to play at the NFL level, I think Jerzan Newton's going to be a really good, if not Pro Bowl level player. But he's not yet. Right? And then Mikey, up and down, if you're just grading him on a hard scale this year, had some really exceptional moments, none finer than the Detroit game, obviously. Just some of the plays he makes in that game are outstanding. A++++++++ guy in the locker room. The way that he goes about his business, the way he's emerged as a leader on this team. I think he's, outside of Jaden, one of the most critical pieces in terms of setting the tone in the building. Like, Bobby, obviously, I think is the keystone there. He was the centerpiece in terms of the locker room. But behind Bobby, you had guys like Zach and Austin who were really important. You had Jaden who was really important. You had Terry who was really important. But Mikey was not just a young leader. Mikey was a leader on this team. And he is a special, special person in that regard. And so if he can continue to get better as a player, which he undoubtedly will, then that seems to be a home run pick. Everyone else, it's up for debate. And I want to stress that that's okay. Because rookies aren't supposed to be good. They can be. And the higher you take them, the better they should be. Which is what makes, like, Ben Sinnott fairly disappointing. But that doesn't mean Ben Sinnott is a bust. Now, if Ben Sinnott has no production again in 2025, now we're having a different discussion. You're halfway through his rookie contract and he hasn't shown you that he can play in the league. Like, that's a problem. But he's got to get way better this offseason, way more locked in as a professional in terms of, I don't mean like, it's not like he's goofing off, but like the ability to trust him to do the job down in, down out, which he's learning the league. He didn't run a really sophisticated route tree at Kansas State. Like, there's a lot for him to learn. And this year was in many ways a learning year. Dominique Hampton, fifth rounder, took a literal learning year. He's a redshirt, basically, this year because they wanted to change his position from safety down to linebacker. So he is a giant TBD. If that project works out, well, that's a steal in the fifth round. If not, Luke McCaffrey, he had some really nice moments this year where you're like, I don't know, he's open. Can someone throw him the ball? But clearly, Jaden didn't have a super high level of trust with him to be able to do that. Other times, it looked like he trusted him a ton with some of the routes that he did get thrown. And then, obviously, I thought he did a pretty good job in the back half of the season as a kick returner once Austin went out. So there's some meat on the bone there. But like for a third-round pick, I think you're expecting him to be a bona fide rotation player. So can he get there next year? These are open-ended questions that need to be answered in the affirmative to feel great about the depth on this football team moving forward. And like Gary talked about, picking so late, I believe it's 29th in each round, is going to be a huge test because you have to go scavengering, basically. But the one thing I really like about Adam and like about this front office is they know what they're looking for. They're not going to go chasing what other people want. They're not going to necessarily listen to media draft. They're certainly not going to listen to like media draft boards and stuff. They're going to take the guys that they know fit what they want from a character standpoint first, which puts a floor underneath them because you know you're going to get maximal effort. So they obviously need to plug some holes in free agency. They're going to have to do really well in the draft, and they're going to have to do well in the draft from a lot later than we anticipated them having to operate. But they have clear vision. Adam has a long history of being successful as a scout and as the AGM and one of the most influential voices in that San Francisco front office that year after year after year got a lot right. Not everything. They did some very crazy stuff at times strategically where they like took kicker Jake Moody in the fourth round. But like outside of wacko stuff like that, guys like Fred Warner, Tufunga, by the way, who's a free agent, the safety from San Francisco, just on down the list, some of the wide receivers they've taken, some of the O-linemen that they've taken, they've hit a lot. Kittle was a Peters guy in San Francisco. So still to be proven. There's always stuff to be proven when it comes to a general manager's place in the NFL. But I think I saw enough year one to feel pretty darn confident about this guy. And I also did not have my brain broken by the fact that Jaden Daniels was awesome to think that every other rookie was also supposed to be awesome immediately, because that's just unrealistic of how the NFL works, because it's the best football league in the world. And it's pretty hard to get along as a guy who's never played in it, which is what happens when you are a rookie. When we get back, more of your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. Give us a call. Phone lines are wide open. We had some folks on hold, and then they hung up. 301-230-0980. So now we got room for more calls. Our guy Max is in for Anthony today. Max, how you doing?
Doing all right. How you doing, Craig?
Doing good. Be better if we had some calls. It's all right. Mitch Tischler's okay. Going to be on the phone at 5 o'clock, and you know what can be Mitch. How are you feeling about the whole like end of the season thing?
It's sad, that's for sure. It's a lot of mixed emotions because, you know, I hate losing. Losing sucks. But like at the same time, I am very aware of how good of a season it has been. It's been the best season of my life. It's really like I'm trying my hardest to just look ahead. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm moving forward instead of looking back.
Right. You want to be grateful. It's really not even you want to be grateful. You don't want to be ungrateful.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like that was awesome. Like that was so a great cool experience. How cool was it to watch the Hail Mary? How cool was it to watch, you know, the just every game that ended in chaos, the best kind of chaos, down the stretch, you know, Atlanta, Dallas. I mean, that's the thing. Even Dallas, even when Jaden got said, hey, man, you can sit down for this one. And then Marcus comes in and he's like, I got your chaos right here. Like, that was amazing. But yeah. I think the thing that, I don't know, I was wondering if this feeling would dissipate. The thing that I was wondering if it would dissipate is, would the kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word. The disappointment is the word I'll use for right now. I don't know if that's perfect, but the disappointment that you have in how it ended dissipate because they just didn't give themselves a chance in that game. It's not even about the loss, right? It's how they lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's just so frustrating.
Like, sitting here doing, like, getting, I was had to record the game and then do post game. And so I was sitting here just dread, like, at probably about midway through the third quarter, I was like, all right, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. I'm done. I'm ready for this to be over. Let's just move on. It was a great season, but yeah.
Yeah, I take notes for every snap during the game, and I just got to a point where I was like, I think I'm good here. I don't know who I'm taking notes for. I don't know what I'm taking notes for. I don't know what the point of taking notes at this, like, and I went a solid two drives longer than I needed to. There was 4 minutes left in the game when I stopped taking notes. That was 4 minutes, two notes, or too many. Like, let me go. I got my notes right here. Hold on. Let me go back on my old little remarkable here. NFC Championship game. Let's go to that note. Let's go back. Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing a film review either. Oh, these are yesterday's calls. Here we go. My last... The last Commanders offensive drive of the game. I mean, I guess I took notes through the Mitchell interception, but it was 48-23 at that point.
You're much more thorough than I thought.
Buddy, you should see what's in this sucker.
It's very well organized. I can tell from here.
Yeah. Oh God. I will say one of my great things, I don't know if you can tell these, see how squiggly those lines are?
Ever so slightly, yes.
Yeah, so like on this little tablet that you can write on, it's called a Remarkable, and it is remarkable because it's remarkable.
I had it for
a while before my wife was like, that's why it's called that, and I was like, oh. She did show me during the game that you can draw a straight line by like drawing and then holding the end point.
Ooh.
And I had just been drawing freehand lines. That that changed my life during that game. Sometime around. Looks like somewhere in the third quarter, because that's when the lines get a little straighter. Let's go to Saeed. Saeed, thanks for calling. How you feeling on this Vibe Check Tuesday?
I'm feeling actually pretty good, considering what made me feel even better is two things. The first is I watched Chase Daniel's breakdown of Jaden and his performance. And it was like next level. Obviously, you and Logan give me that feeling too. But this one was really cool seeing kind of like the tape breakdown. But what really made me feel great is listening and watching to all the latest coaches that have been hired. You got a guy in Dallas who on day one, his owner says, kind of risky. You got a guy who went to the Jets, Aaron Glenn, who said, I already know, we're the freaking Jets. Thank goodness we didn't hire a coach who on day one, without speaking to a single player, told us who we are. Why you gotta lie to people? We got another guy who went to Jacksonville, who their social media post was him walking into his office going, oh, wow, this is cool. Thank goodness we have competence right now at the Commanders, where we have coaches who are honest with us, who have Tell the Truth Monday, who don't come in there going, we're the freaking Jets, to like three golf claps in the room. Thank goodness we have competence, because now I'm actually, this is the first offseason that I'm not actually looking to win the offseason. I'm looking to just get better. And I'm not looking to hire the big-name free agent as some way to make myself feel better, as some sort of, like, narcotic drug to make me forget about our season. We go, oh, man, at least we got Dion. Like, thank goodness we have competent people, and those are the two big things that make me feel a lot better. And, oh, by the way, yeah, we got five on it.
Yeah, that tends to help as well. Saeed, thanks for the call. Saeed, mic dropped. He hung up on himself. All right. See you, Saeed. Let's wrap it up with DC. DC, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Wrap us up here for hour one of a Vibe Check Tuesday.
Great day, Craig, man. Chase, you're taking my call today. But he kind of pretty much summed up my thoughts as well. Like,
I like the fact that Jaden Daniels, our leader, didn't complain about anything throughout the whole season. He has faith in his coach, his GMs, the ownership, to get him what he needs. And this offseason, I look forward to seeing Adam Peters work and come back next year with a leader that's still focused on being the best he could be, and everyone else will follow suit. And I believe the guys that we keep on the roster have already seen that and will develop themselves in this offseason as well.
I totally agree. Like, the way Jaden is as a leader, as someone who is truly authentic, that is a big, 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 big deal in terms of how he shows up for others and how others show up for him. And it's going to be more on him as this thing moves forward, as guys like Bobby ultimately move out. The one thing that I thought was great, though, yesterday, let me see if I have this cut pulled real quick. Dan Quinn was asked, I think it was actually by Mitchell yesterday, who's going to join us in a second, about balancing leadership on the roster versus like going young and building a contender. In fact, since Mitch asked that question, why don't we save? I'm going to play that bite for you and for Mitch next, and we'll let Mitch and I go back and forth on it, talk about it a little bit, why he asked the question, what we make of the answer, and we'll get our vibe check going with Tischler on a Tischler Tuesday next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.